Come on, let's put our hands together and bless the name of the Lord. We are because Jesus is. Jesus is, therefore we are. And so we bless the wonderful miracle working name of our Christ, who I'm happy to report is still alive and well. Amen. Anybody know God is still alive? Amen. We are grateful today to come and share with you here at your 8 a.m. service. And we do want to thank God for these men. Amen. Let's put our hands and praise the name of the Lord for these men today. Amen. It is such a delight to be here. And I want you to know, I usually don't leave Pilgrim during 8 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. But when my friend, Daryl Armstrong, amen, invites me to come, amen, to the prestigious Church of Shiloh, I'm going to accept that invitation. Amen. And I am so delighted to be here and to share with you. I'm not by myself. My wife is here, the First Lady of Pilgrim. I'm going to invite her to stand, Sister Wilma Porter. Amen. I would say all those little queens, you know, she's the sugar in my coffee and the sun in my day. And amen. You know all that stuff. Amen. And that's good stuff to say. Amen. But I made her mad this morning, so she ain't gonna feel it. Amen. But we do thank you. This is a wonderful day. I celebrate Men's Days. It would seem here over the last several years, when I first started out in ministry, they called me to do youth revivals. Amen. Have youth revivals all the time. Do youth days. Amen. But now since I got on the backside of 50, I don't get those invitations anymore. And so I'm just delighted. It seems like I do more men's days and missionary days. I don't know what that means, but I thank God for opportunity. Amen. But listen, I'm not going to keep you long. I know that this is a long day as you celebrate your men here at the Shiloh Church. Our men's ministry, we refer to it as iron sharpens iron. Because we believe at Pilgrim, it takes one man to help strengthen another man. Amen. Women have always had a monopoly on relationary empowerment. But I believe in these last and evil days, men, especially African-American men, need to get together and share out of their hearts and convictions what God would have them to know. So it takes one man to help strengthen another man. And so I applaud that which you are doing throughout the course of this day. And I pray the peace of God would be with you men as you grow. I want you to know this world is messed up. And I'm of the opinion it got messed up because men stopped being the men God had ordained them to be. So no harm against the sisters, but I believe until the men get right, amen, this world is going to remain in a moral mess. Amen. From the White House all the way down, it's going to be in a moral mess if we don't get right and get right with the Lord and do it now. But there is a word from the Lord. I'm going to invite your attention to the Gospel of Mark. Amen. The Gospel of Mark. Amen. Chapter number 5. And if you could stand, and that if you're physically able, that we could share in the Word of God together. Mark chapter number 5. Beginning at verse number 2. I'm going to, the fifth chapter is actually the entire verses 1 through 20 is the landscape for which we'll launch today, but I just want to lift up a few verses. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 2. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse number 2. See, y'all got me all nervous. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Skip down to verse number 9. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And therewith, forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and seeing him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind. Somebody say, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, which is already blessed. Grab your neighbor by the holy hand and just repeat this for me. Look at your neighbor. Don't look at me. Look at them. Amen. Y'all looking at me. Look at them. Amen. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. We need the bulls back. Turn to somebody else and tell them, neighbor, just like I told the last one, we need the bulls back. Come on, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the praise place of the Lord. Amen. We need the bulls back. In 1999, I had the pleasure of sitting with my wife and watching an episode on 60 Minutes. In that particular episode, there was a piece, if you will, about a national forest, a national refuge in South Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa. It was called the Kruger National Park. And what was interesting about this particular piece is that the rhinos that they had tried to protect over the years were beginning to be killed. They didn't know what was happening. And as they did some investigation, they found out that there was a herd of young elephants who were actually attacking and killing the rhinos. And they didn't know why this was happening. Then someone realized just years before, in order to thin the elephant herd, they removed all the male bulls out of the herd. They relocated them to another place. Well, when they relocated the older bulls, the younger males started acting crazy. They started losing their minds. They started attacking the white rhinos and assaulting them and causing them a lot of distress, to the point the rhinos that they had tried to protect started to diminish. Someone came up with the wonderful idea that as the rhinos were dying, they realized that one particular elephant, a young elephant, whose name they coined the name Tom Thumb, became the ringleader of this assault on the rhinos. Well, they realized something, that in order for the gang of young elephants to come under control, they had to reintroduce the bull elephants back into the herd. And when the bulls came back, young Tom Thumb, the elephant gang leader, realized that there was someone bigger than him. Therefore, he could not go around acting wild like he always did. In other words, church, I'm trying to tell you, when the bulls come back, something special happens in the world in which we live. And Pastor Armstrong, I want to suggest to you today, we need men to return back to the rightful place of responsibility. But when we get there, brothers, we got to be clothed in our right minds in order to do it the right way. See, I want you to know why we sit and shout and have a Holy Ghost good time on Sunday mornings in our churches. Economic policies of neoliberalism are being put into place to gentrify our communities. Policies that underfund public education. Policies that deny human rights to many and reserve all of the gains of the civil rights movement. In other words, we find ourselves in a time where we really need the bulls back.
because we need to re-engage in the struggles of our community. See, this familiar story in the Bible before us today, I want you to know, is indicative of the society in which we live. Come on, we know the story. We know it from our Bible school and our Sunday school lessons. It's a story of a man in the Gadarenes. He's there in the Gadarenes because he has been sidelined and marginalized by life. He's been removed from his rightful place. The text says he's crying out, shackles can't hold him, and he's cutting himself. He, in the eyes of society, is a madman. This brother is a lunatic. He's angry, and he's killing himself. But now, if you fast forward to verse number 9, Jesus looks at the man and says, "What is your name?" And the man looks back at Jesus and says, "Legion, for we are many." See, come on now. The man identifies himself as Legion. In other words, there's some stuff wrong with this man. There's a whole lot of stuff wrong with this man. So he refers to himself as Legion. Legion, there's not just one thing wrong with the brother. I'm dealing with a multiplicity of problems. See, Jesus engages in a conversation with this demonic, and the next thing that happens, there's a shift from the demonic man to the sum of the swines in the story. The man says, "Just let me go into the swine." And Jesus sent the demons into the swine. Okay, the stuff that was in the man went into the swine. The stuff that was making the man crazy was sent into 2,000 swine. The stuff that was in the man is now in the swine, and 2,000 swine run into the river and kill themselves. There was enough in this one man to drive 2,000 swine crazy, and yet the man is still alive. I'm going somewhere. Y'all might as well get on. Yet the man was still alive. Do you realize? I want you to know, do you realize that there are some stuff in us brothers that we've been delivered from that could have driven us crazy a long time ago? Come on now, I ain't the only one up here that's been saved by God, sanctified by God, and set free from the things in my life. Come on, there's enough that has been in your life and my life that should have killed us a long time ago, that should have driven us crazy, and yet by the grace of God, we are still here. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm still here." There are some places we used to go, and there are some things we used to do. There are some people we used to hang with that could have killed us a long time ago. So you might as well thank God right now that you're in the land of the living, you survived, you made it, and you're in your right mind. So come on now. So these swine, y'all going to work with me this morning? These swine. So these swine go down into the water, and the scene is in this unfolding drama is this particular man. The same man who was naked and cutting himself and nobody was studding about him, the text says he's clothed in his right mind. Now, the first thing I need you to understand, Pastor Armstrong, about this text, I want the church to know, when the bulls come back, your presence ought to make a difference. Write it down. When the bulls come back, your presence ought to make a difference. See, when Jesus showed up, the man came running to him and said, "Leave me alone. Why are you tormenting me?" And just like there is something about the presence of Jesus, there ought to be something about your presence. If you really are a child of God, brothers, your presence ought to make a difference. If you are walking in the anointing of God, your presence ought to stir some folks up. There ought to be something about your presence that causes people to take notice that you are a change agent, and that you are somebody special, that you are walking in the power of the anointing of God, that you can speak truth to power, because there ought to be something about your presence. Your presence ought to make you speak up against injustice in this community, because when you speak up, you will upset the status quo. We can't just name it and claim it, yoke it and stroke it like we've been doing. We can't just have a good time on Sunday morning while our boys are being shot in the streets and our girls are contracting HIV, when our families are falling apart. Every now and then, you ought to speak up and get involved, and sometimes your presence ought to make a difference in the world in which we live. We got to get back to a time where we were involved in our communities. We didn't just walk away. We stood there and we stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ because we believe our presence ought to make a difference. I believe it was Reverend Dr. Alan Waller that gives it to us like this. He says we got to go to hell to get out of hell and say hell no. Come on now. Walk with me just for a little bit. When was the last time, brothers, your ministry at the church, your fraternity, or your social group were willing to authentically get involved? When was the last time the church, your group, or your political party was willing to go to hell and to say, get out of hell, and hell no? Dr. Wallace said, when you're willing to go to hell, that means you can go to the hellish places in Trenton, New Jersey. That means you come out of the four corners of the comfortable spaces of the church. That means you're willing to go to where hell is. You don't just stay in the church. You don't just stay in your comfortable pews, but you're willing to go to hell. And then when you get to hell, you ought to speak truth to hell and tell hell you got to get the hell out of here. You need to tell the hell to get out of my country. Tell hell to get out of my, this is my father's community. This is my father's streets, and this is God's land, and this is God's house, and you got to get the hell out of here. And when hell tries to come back after you tell hell to get out, you got to say, hell no, you can't come back to the places of God. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, I feel my help coming on. Oh, we live in a time. Come on now, look at the time. Don't worry about your holy roller this morning, because y'all invited me, and I got to tell the truth that we, man, need to get back to where God wants us to be. But Jesus showed up. But now look at the text. Jesus showed up, and his very presence bothered somebody. What I'm trying to help you with is your presence ought to make a difference, brother. And in a real sense, what that means is that those of you who have gained access to the enclaves of bigness, those of you who have gained access to the boardrooms of political influence, you now have a responsibility. If you're the only black and nobody knows you're black because you don't stand up for the issues that affect the black people, if you're the only Christian on the board and nobody knows you're a Christian, there's something wrong with your presence. When you get the opportunity, don't be afraid, brothers, to stand up for the kingdom of God. And don't be afraid to create opportunities for other black men. Come on now. If Muslims can lift up Muslims, if Jews can lift up Jews, if white folks can lift up white folks, if the brown Latina folks can lift up one another, I tell you, brothers, we need to learn how to lift up one another for the kingdom of God. Not only should your presence make a difference, but you need to know when the bulls come back, they have to develop a partnership. Turn to somebody and say, you got to have a partner. You got to have a partner. See, in the text, look at the text. Jesus asked the man, what is your name? The man said, Legion, for we are many. He said, what's wrong with me is a multiplicity of things. What that suggests, Pastor Armstrong, for us today is that gone is the time and the days of homogeneous answers to any societal question. And in other words, if we are sitting in the group and the only discipline in the group is your discipline and you think you're going to heal our community, you have already missed the mark. See, we got to cross over and begin to work together. See, if the bulls are going to make a difference in our communities, they have to be willing to cross over and connect with other religions and other cultures and other political lines of thinking. You got to stand in your faith and not be compromising about your faith, but you got to be willing to unite with somebody else. And we must then work together in conversation and begin to ask the relevant questions of concern. How did our communities get the way they are? How did we get to this place and where we're cutting and hurting ourselves? And see, in a real sense, you got a whole lot of issues, and we can no longer answer the question with a simple Sunday school lesson. I need you to understand today, Shiloh, gone are the days when just one group alone can solve the problems in our community. We got to reach across the aisle and recognize there are a multiplicity of things that inform us and why our people are in the trouble that they are in. See, that's why I have a problem. I said I have a problem with simply pointing to slavery for the reason for our problems right now. See, I have a problem pointing to slavery as the sole reason why little Johnny and little Jeanette can't read right now. See, I got a problem pointing to slavery as the sole reason why our families are falling apart right now. And you want to know why I got a problem? Come on now, you want to know why I got a problem? You want to know why I got a problem? I got a problem because in our history that there were a people of the African descent have done a lot and they've done it with a little. Come on now, you do remember in our history from 1865 to 1904 that our ancestors got out of their sanctified imaginations and they put one foot before in front of another in the period of Reconstruction, and they began to build a new community. They began to do something which the world had not seen before. They began to work together. They began to strive together. They began to lift each other together, and you need to understand our issues are not related to slavery because our ancestors proved that the master couldn't hold them down. Oh, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know there are some folks sitting on the sidelines that are trying to tell us, I ain't got to shoot you if you gonna shoot yourself in our communities. I don't have to tear your family apart. You're doing a good job all by yourself. I don't have to call you nigger if you call yourself nigger in your music, in your conversation. Until we address the realities of our responsibilities and the conditions of our community, until we stop hurting one another, until we stop fighting one another, until we start hating on one another, we don't have to worry about slavery. We got to deal with one another. Well, I need some help up in here. Y'all just say amen. But let me press on. Let me press on. Let me press on. I don't want to keep you too long, but when the Bulls come back, your presence will make a difference. When the Bulls come back, you have to develop a partnership. And I want to suggest to you today, when the Bulls come back, it's going to cost somebody something. Turn to somebody. It's going to cost somebody something. Look at it. You do know there's a reason why some folks don't want anybody to get free and liberated, don't you? You do know there's a reason why nobody wants you to be self-sufficient, don't you? The reason is why they really don't want us to wake up and be present in our communities. There's a reason why they don't really want to stop young black boys from going to jail. There's a reason why they don't want to turn this thing around. And do you know what the reason is? Somebody's getting paid. Tell your neighbor, somebody's getting paid. Oh, come on. Look at the text. I got to stay in the Bible, so look in the text. Look at the text there. There was a shift from the man to the swine. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but a question that I have about the text is, why are the swine there in the first place? I mean, the text takes place in the region of the Jews. Why are the swine there in the first place? Now, what's interesting to me, church, as I began to look at this thing, is that the text said it was a herd of swine who were being fed and who were being taken care of. Now, they weren't just wild swine. It was a herd of swine. They wasn't running loose. They were under somebody's control. They belonged to somebody. Now, if you read deeper in the biblical history, you will come to the conclusion, like I have, that Jews do not like to eat pork. Say amen. Well, but they could benefit from some ancillary uses of pork. Now, this predates plumbing, and that's one reason you didn't want to eat them. You didn't want to eat the swine because if you had a couple pigs around the house, they would help you eat up all the trash around the house. And so there was a reason to have a herd of swine. There was a reason to sell the swine because you can make sandals and you can make balls, and they were part of the economic system of the day. And so it becomes real interesting to me, church, because what happens is that the man gets healed by taking the demons out of him, and they go into the swine, and the swine go into the water. That means somebody in the swine business lost a whole bunch of money on that day. They lost money because the man got set free, so they lost money in this. I'm going somewhere right now. So they lost money on the swine. And I'm asking you to consider today, Shiloh, is it possible that nobody wants to see the pipeline to prison get corrected? I said, is it possible? Nobody wants to see the underfunding of education go away. Is it possible that the GOP wants to repeal the health care plan for financial reasons? The reason it could be is because there is money to be made. And as long as we keep people marginalized, there's money to be made. As long as we keep people on the sideline, there's money to be made. If our presence is to be felt, if we are going to speak truth to power and situations and circumstances start to change, somebody is going to lose a whole bunch of money. See, you need to know there is economic gains to be had if we privatize schools and underfund education. There's economic gains to be had if we keep white rural commerce alive at the expense of urban America. There's an economic gain for somebody if we let the gentrification of the black and brown people continue to rob the identity in our communities. You need to understand there's no money in treatment. There's only money in addiction. There's no money in rehabilitation. There's only money in incarceration. There's no money in breakthrough. There's only money in confinement. There's no money in deliverance, only in dependency. It will cost somebody when you see boys stand up straight. It will cost somebody when we begin to see our young girls walking in their destiny. It will cost somebody when our boys and girls put down video games and start picking up books. It's going to cost somebody when we stop eating fast food all the time and start eating healthy. It's going to cost somebody when we train up our children in the way of the Lord. A big business will lose a whole lot of money when the bulls come back. I said when the bulls come back, and the work to liberate our people starts inside the church and goes into the community, a whole bunch of people are going to lose a whole lot of money. Can I tell you one more thing? I said, can I tell you one more thing? Come on, tell me now. Can I tell you one more thing? Well, I told you, when the bulls come back, your presence ought to make a difference. I told you, when the bulls come back, you have to develop partnerships for success. I told you, when the bulls come back, somebody's going to lose a whole bunch of money. Nudge your neighbor and say, he's about to leave right now. But let me tell you one more thing. When the bulls come back, somebody is going to get scared. Oh, tell your neighbor, somebody is going to get scared. Well, we must understand when the bulls come back, we need to realize there are a multiplicity of problems we got to deal with. If we're going to help, then we need to realize that real help is going to cost somebody. Real help is going to be a thorn in the side of the established big business. See, real help is going to change the economics of our community. But here it is. I'm about through. But I want you to know. But what the society is really afraid of is when the bulls come back and take their rightful place, then somebody is going to get set free. And freedom is going to scare a whole lot of people. It's going to scare the white people, and it's going to scare the black people. Because when the bulls come back, they're going to make a difference in the world in which we live. It's right there in verse number 15. When the people came, to Jesus and saw him who had been shackled, they saw him sitting and he was clothed in his right mind. And the text says the people became afraid. And it dawned on me, church, when I looked at the text, that when the man was shackled and when he was cutting himself and when he was doing harm to the nobody but himself, wasn't nobody thinking about this brother. Nobody was afraid of the brother. Nobody was worried about the brother. Nobody was scared about the brother. But as soon as the man got clothed in his right mind, the people started getting afraid. I need your help right here. See, in the real sense, brothers, I know you're celebrating Men's Day today, but I want you to know America knows what to do with an angry black man. America knows what to do with a black man sitting on the corner and doing harm to himself. America knows what to do when all you want to do is to be upset. America knows what to do when you're angry on the sideline and you're not involved, just complaining about what's wrong. See, America knows what to do when you're hanging on the street corner, drinking your 40s and smoking your Newports. They know what to do when you're doing harm to yourself. But don't you know, we have seen in the presidency of one Barack Obama that America doesn't know what to do with a black man that's clothed in his right mind. Because when you're in your right mind, you begin to look for the means and methods to help another brother out. See, what I'm trying to tell you, when you're clothed in your right mind, you will begin to get involved. When you're clothed in your right mind, you will begin to heal your family and work things out. When you're clothed in your right mind, you'll begin to call your children back from the streets. When you're clothed in your right mind, you'll take over the politics of your community, not just in campaign propaganda, but you'll begin to work for righteousness for everybody. When you're clothed in your right mind, you begin to get involved and help the next generation reach for its potential. What I'm trying to tell you is when a man is clothed in his right mind, you'll come to the righteous reality that you need the strength of God to make it in your life. When you're clothed in your right mind, you'll know that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're clothed in your right mind, you can work while it's day because nighttime is coming. And I stopped by to tell you, I got to ask you the question, are there any bulls in the house? I said, are there any bulls in the house that are clothed in the right mind? Are there some bulls in the house that are willing to get involved? Are there some bulls in the house that know how to praise the Lord and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to know, Shiloh, are there some bulls in the house? See, we need the bulls back. Things ain't going to get right until the bulls come back. Come on, bulls, let's get back. Come on, bulls, let's make a difference. Come on, bulls, let's lift up holy hands. Come on, bulls, let's praise the name of Jesus. Come on, bulls, get involved. Come on, bulls, let the world know that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there any bulls in the house? Is there any bulls in the house? Anybody that wants to get involved, say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. We need the bulls back. We need our communities back. We need people back. And it starts one bull at a time. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a bull. I'm a bull. I'm a bull. I'm a bull. We need the bulls back. We need the bulls in the church. We need the bulls on our job. We need bulls in school. We need bulls in the street. We need the bulls back. Somebody say amen. 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 Amen.